You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network. Welcome to Prosperity for God's People, brought to you by ChristianTraders.com, the Internet's fastest growing Christian investment community, created just for you, the Christian investor. Everybody's happy. Striving for excellence in Christian talk radio, excellence in the world financial markets, and most of all, excellence in your personal walk with God.
Broadcasting live
from the CFRN studios in beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona.
Tuesday, 19th day of October, 2010. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Colossians 3:12. Now we're in the midst of a three-part series on pride. We did anxiety last week, doing pride this week. However, we're starting a little bit late today. And so we're going to just, we're going to do a quick devotional today, get down to business. Tomorrow, we'll pick up with pride again. I thought, in fact, after talking about anxiety and pride, maybe we should talk about something that might just cheer you up. Christianity today is much more than just a religion. It's, in fact, a holy calling. Contrary to so many images that we have of religious zealots, we're not called to violence. We see this on TV. We see people killing in the name of Allah. Some would say, well, God, Allah, that's all the same. I say it's not. I say Allah is a demon spirit pretending to be God. Remember, that's how Satan got kicked out in the beginning. So, I'm going to be like God. All right. Oh, I said I was going to cheer you up today. Okay. People blowing themselves up in the name of a deity. Yeah. I don't want to go there, and I don't want to be a part of that. We're called as Christians, as believers, to a radical life of love, a form of love, a supernatural love that, quite frankly, this world does not understand. In fact, without the love of Christ in them, they have no ability to comprehend this type of love. First, we must have the mind of Christ to even comprehend supernatural love. Jesus made this very clear in his example, Paul in his teachings. We are his holy people, and he has asked us to permeate our life with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. We talked about humility yesterday, an incredibly rare commodity in the world today. No one wants to brag about being a humble man. But yet God shows great favor to the man who is cloaked in humility. And all of these things that we're to be, merciful, kind, humble, gentle, patience, That's not just with each other. That's not just with our fellow believers. That's not just with our family members and the guy on the other end of the pew. We're also to love the needy. And here's where it gets hard. And this is where you really have to have the mind of Christ. We are to love those that despise us. Those that use us. Those that come against us. We are to love those that disagree with us. Those that are different than us. Those that hurt us. Now, he's not actually saying that we should love the guy who's blowing himself up and a busload of innocent people in the name of Allah. Is he? Is he really saying that? Who made that bomber? Is God not the creator of everything? And I didn't say Allah, I said God. Is he not the creator of all things? I'm not just picking on Allah, I could pick on any of them. Okay? Any false god. God says love everybody. Those that despise us, those that use us, those that come against us, those that disagree with us, those that are different than us, and those that hurt us. And boy, right there, that's the end of the road for many people who want to be Christians. Because they can never get past this part. I'll go to church, I'll sing in the choir, I'll be a greeter, I'll serve coffee, I'll stay after and stack the chairs, I'll do just about anything, but I can't do that. The guy at work who lied about me and cost me my promotion. I can't love him. Well, the mind of Christ and the infilling of the Holy Spirit, guess what? You can. Doesn't mean you gotta like him. Doesn't mean you gotta hang out with him. You don't have to go bowling or take him to lunch. It says you love him. Because you have the same Father. See, that's why I said Christianity is not just some religion. Okay? It's not just some set of rules and beliefs. And it's a holy calling from a holy God for you to become holy like He is holy. The good news is that He who called us is able to empower us. It is His Holy Spirit that lives in us to do His good pleasure. So today, call upon God. Ask Him to help you live a life of love, true love. Not just for your friends and your family and the people you like, but the people you don't like, and the people that don't like you, and the ones that may be plotting against you at this very moment. As Paul writes, clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Father, You have called me to be Your ambassador of love. God, I confess that I cannot do this in my own power. My flesh wants to get mad, get upset, get angry, get even. I need You, God, to fill me with Your Holy Spirit. Father, I need You to empower me to see with your eyes and to love with your heart. And I know that you can because of Jesus. Father, we ask that this day that lies before us, it would be a day that we bring glory and honor to your name, because we love well our fellow man. We love well those who hate us and use us and lie about us. Help us today, God, through whatever trial and tribulation this day may hold, to become more like your Son, Jesus. God, we ask you to watch over our military, to comfort them, Lord, to keep them safe, to bring them home victorious. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hello, good morning, friends. Welcome to this slightly late starting edition of Prosperity for God's People. Let's have a quick look here at the numbers. Looks like the Dow is down 134 points. Comp is off by 30. S&P is down by 12 and 3 quarters. All right, I've not looked at news this morning, so we will rely on the expertise of our broker, Mr. Burton Schlichter, or Ms. Leslie Burton, to come on and fill our ears with whatever news is afoot, whatever economic reports may have come out to shake up the world. We're going to roll back here on our 30-minute chart just for a moment. Sunday night, we hit the 1172, 1173 zone on the open. Rolled over. London open, we tagged the 65-66 weekly trading zone. We begin to head north. Pre-market, we hit 72-73 yet again. And we spend 3.5 hours trying to make a decision if in fact this is going to be an area of resistance or not. So we consolidate, it's a decision area. 3.5 hours later, the market decides we're going to move ahead. Up we go. Then we get here, doji indecision, a reversal signal here, and then the market goes flat for 1.5 hours. My entire trip to the airport yesterday and back, the market was in roughly about a 2-point range for a period of a couple of hours. 75.50 on the low side, 73.50 high side, 75.75. So, okay. 2.25-point range, roughly. We'll call it 3. You can see by the tiny bodies on these candles. This is middle of the day. This is not 6 o'clock at night or 9 o'clock at night or even 2 o'clock in the morning. This is the middle of the trading day yesterday afternoon. Now we ended up rallying suddenly up and away out of nowhere, right up to the 82-83 weekly trading zone. We get earnings from Apple, IBM, and someone else. All three of them beat the street, but you wouldn't know it because it failed to satisfy the market, and we promptly put in a little doji right there at the 82, and then what it took the entire trading session to accomplish on the upside, we wiped it all out in an hour. 30 minutes. Two 30-minute candles, all gone. And we then spent a very quiet session last night, just hugging the 72-73 weekly trading zone. A little above it, just a little bit below it, a little bit above it. And then this morning, right there, see that? It's a reversal signal, a pretty good one. And it's taken us from that 72-73 zone back to the 65-66, back up to the 72-73 where we put in a doji, and now we're attempting to work our way back down to the 65-66. In that direction, with this candlestick here, with this doji, and this 21-period EMA overhead and falling on the 30-minute chart, that would appear to be the direction that we are, in fact, headed back to the 65-66. Below that, we have two more weekly trading zones. We have one down at the 11:55, 11:56. We also have one way down at the 11:38/11:39. For anything to change, we would really need to get above the overnight high, which was 11:78. And in order for that to happen, we've got to close above the 21-period EMA on a 30-minute chart. We've got to close above the weekly trading zone at 72.73 and then take out that high at 78, which then puts us staring right down the barrel of the high of the week, the 11.82/11.83 weekly trading zone. In a nutshell, that's where we are. Michael, are you with us?
I am. I am with us.
Good morning. Welcome to the show.
All right. You know, I can go over the... I see Bert and or Leslie are not in here, so let me just go over the news events. Pre-market today, we had housing starts and building permits. It was kind of a mixed bag because the housing starts consensus was 579,000 and the actual was 610,000, so we had more housing starts. But building permits, the consensus was 565,000 and the actual was 539,000. So we have more actual starts right now than we have building permits being issued. So that suggests that we're going to have less starts next time around.
So it's been a bit of a tug of war. I mean, we have a good month with the starts, and then the permits fall off, so then we know that's going to turn into some bad starts however many months later.
Right.
Okay, yeah, so I agree, mixed bag there.
Yep. And that's all we have for news events today. We have a lot of people talking today. Hold on a second. Let me get that for you. Just one second, I'll tell you. We had, at the close today, we have Bernanke's going to be talking at 1600. Let's see, what else do we have? The U.S. At 9 a.m., we had FOMC member Yellen was speaking. At 10 a.m., FOMC member Dudley was speaking. This afternoon at 4, this is all Eastern, by the way, Fed Chairman Bernanke is speaking. And then tonight at 7, FOMC member Duke is speaking. So we have a lot of people talking.
Now, does on the calendar you're looking at, does it assign any of those any high impact status? Or
no high impact.
No high impact.
Medium impact. For Yellen, was a medium impact. Bernanke, medium impact. The one tonight, Duke, is a low impact. All right, I think we're looking at the same thing, the Forex Factory thing, I think. But that's it. You know, a lot of people speaking. Now, tomorrow we have, what do we have? 1, 2, 3 news events. Fed's Beige Book is coming out tomorrow. I suspect that's why so many people are speaking right now, you know, because Fed's Beige Book is coming out tomorrow. I don't know if there's, you know, something that's going to be spoken between the lines there. but we have tomorrow morning MBA mortgage applications is due out at 7 a.m. You know, that's way pre-market. Then crude is due out at 10:30. Fed's beige book is due out at 2 tomorrow afternoon. So
for all these Fed heads to be speaking in such quick succession, is that typical?
I don't think it's typical.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I don't recall it. So I'm wondering if each wants to speak from their own individual camp, so to speak, as to what their take is on this thing, or if they've been given, you know, a command from higher up that they need to get out and reassure the American people the Fed will, in fact, do whatever is necessary to shore up the economy with this quantitative easing, also known
right.
as printing more money, and just a way of reassuring people that don't worry, we're all on board. We all agree that, you know, if that's what's needed, that's what we'll do. What's amazing to me is how they determine, okay, all right, okay, today it's finally needed, you know. Yesterday, when 500,000 people were out of work and all their unemployment benefits had run out, it wasn't really, but today, you know, something has happened, something has fallen into place, some, you know, tumbler turned somewhere, and now, okay, it's on. We need it. Let's go. How do you call that shot? It's so much money, no one can even comprehend it. And how they're going to spend it, most people don't understand that either. I admit, it's difficult for me to even grasp it all. But they're going to shore up the markets by buying financial instruments, so. Okay.
Yeah, essentially that's what it seems like they're trying to get across. And our markets are a lot sideways. You know, looking across everything here, we have right now the gold just had a nice move down. I caught a little of. Now it's going sideways. The 10-year notes have been sideways for an hour. The YM.
What's gold trading right now?
Gold is right now trading at 1341.
Wow, it is down. Couldn't find it on my chart here.
Crude has been moving around. Crude has been something that's been tradable.
Wow.
I could just get over my aversion to trading crude. it's been moving around pretty well. The ES soybeans had a good move right out of the gate this morning, but then, you know, since then they've been they haven't exactly been sideways. Yeah, they've been up and down quite a bit, but I haven't been able to jump in on anything there.
Are you on now the beans?
Just come together. On the beans.
Are you on the beans now?
I was. I was just looking at the beans. You know, if you flip over there right out of the gate, you'll see at, I think it's 7:30 for you. You see there's a nice move right there right out of the gate. And then there's been, you know, a lot of choppy action since.
Talking about this move to the upside?
Yes, the upside move. Yeah, you got to scroll a little more. There it is. Right there at 7:30, right in that range.
Oh, right after the one right out of the gate. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, right out of the gate. Or
so
nailed that up move right there.
And then we had a continued up move.
Yep.
Fact.
And the only problem that I had with all that was that the cycle was... or the stoke in your case was so overbought.
65, 66, the initial rally began. 66, and it's run all the way to... So what was it, about a 24 cent run since the open this morning?
Yeah, it had a big move up.
The S&P moving 24 points. Something we've not seen in a while.
Right. last night, in the overnight, we had some good movement on the zone to zone, and we've gone back zone to zone this morning.
This has been a zone to zone to zone week so far. Now, what's interesting here is on the 30-minute, I just pointed out with the 21 EMA overhead, and this doji that just printed, it really looked like we were headed back to the 65-66 area, and we may well be if this 21 EMA turns out to be support. This is going to be the second test of the 21 EMA, so it's possible that there's a reversal of fortune here at 72-73, and this market actually tries to go higher. I'm still going to call it a head fake at this point, because if you go down and look at the DMT on the 30-minute chart, that envelope is still red and bearish.
Mm-hmm.
It's starting to close up a little bit, but now on the 10-minute or the 10,000 contract, we've gotten above the 21. CFMA1 has curled. We got a blue envelope, so from this perspective, it would appear that, let's jump back to that 30-minute for just a second. 21 EMA is at, we're right on top of it right now.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, it either becomes resistance or it doesn't. On the 10K, we are, well, we're just approaching the zone. We're approaching the zone either way. We're at 1171.5. Zone is 72.73. High of the week has been the 82.83 zone. I never sent you those bean levels, did I? No, I didn't.
No, you did not.
Let's see what they look like here. Let's see if any of them came into play today. Well, I thought I had written them down. Alright, I stand corrected. I guess I didn't write them down. I really thought I did. Oh yeah, here they are. Got them on a... Okay. Go to my bean chart. Yeah, I had 11 up a level. Yeah, this is even right. This must be the beans for the previous week. All right, I'll redo them again and send them to you. Because these numbers don't match up.
Thanks.
At all. I don't know what I was looking at. Where did the beans close last week? Any idea?
I don't know. Last week on a weekly.
Right.
I could flip over and look at
a
weekly.
Deal. I'll just recalculate them. Hey, Bert, welcome to the show. Glad to have you with us.
Hey, bud. Just so you know, beans closed last week at 1185.
Thank you, Bert.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, those numbers I had pulled up were from... They closed at 1185?
Correct.
My numbers may not be off. We just look off based on current price action.
I got to step away for just a minute. I'll be back in a couple of minutes.
I got to level up at 1193.94.
No, you can't, Michael.
So I guess that is right.
Yeah, all right,
go ahead, Mike.
I think the beans are on the last couple of days here. We've been actually, I know we've had some big moves. If just look at Friday's settlement, Dwayne, and then I'll give you the weekly close. But, yeah, the last couple of days we've been rocking and rolling, but we're basically right back in the middle.
Hmm. All right, we're approaching this weekly zone of 72.73, so we'll see what the market's going to do here. So at the 10K, we can draw us a little trend line. Price will either hit the zone and continue, or it'll break this trend line, close below the 21 period EMA, and then we'll look to take a short back down to the 65.66.
Almost feels like a repeat of yesterday. We get all the action bright and early, and then we trade sideways until something else pops up. I was going to say, it almost feels like a repeat of yesterday where we had all the action bright and early and then we just flatlined.
Oh my goodness, God, I think it was just grueling yesterday. midday, just drug and drug. And then we catch that little sprint up to the 82-83 zone. And then in an hour, we give back everything it took the entire session to put together.
Yeah.
230-minute candles wipes the whole thing out. And interestingly, on good news, Apple beat the street, IBM beat the street, and the market tumbled.
I can only imagine
if they failed to meet expectations.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. I think Apple was disappointed with their. They're okay with iPhone sales, but iPad shares, I think, were a disappointment. I think right out of the box, or at least after the earnings last night, or yesterday afternoon, they were down 5%.
But they beat the analyst estimates.
Yeah, I know. It's called the twist. They start twisting, and that's why you and I, Duane, don't like listening to news. They twist it, turn it, but let's twist it the way we want to see it and hear it, so the folks out there get confused.
Bert, a listener would like to know what the symbol is in DT Pro for the 10-year note.
ZN. Z0. ZN for 10-year note. Z for December.
ZN. Okay, we were looking at that yesterday. I thought, for some reason, I thought that was a 30.
Yeah,
that is the 10. Okay.
Yeah, Jerry was dead. Jerry had a 300 tick on that. Actually, I've been watching that. It's kind of a smoother ride. I like that time frame for the 10-year note.
Yeah, what do I have on this?
ZB is the 30. All right, thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, that's been so smooth today, though. Had a couple of smooth trades, but
I only had one there that I took. As I was trying to watch everything, we were in the chat room and the other, and I was looking at the 10-year note and then some other markets were going nuts, and it was like, oh, man. It's going to be
not
one of those
easy
days.
Yes. All right, we're right at a weekly zone here at 72.73.
So let me get rid of that.
On ES, obviously. Yeah, it's been a tough day for a lot of the markets here. I had one good gold trade. That's all I had.
Yeah, gold was getting rocked.
Yeah, I took a short. And I can tell you exactly. I shorted 13.
I had 52, 53.
No, just a few minutes ago, or a little while ago, actually. 13.40.60 is where I shorted.
Gotcha.
At 11. Well, 10.21 in exchange time.
Shorted 40.60?
Yep, 40.60 at 10.21 exchange time.
Okay, I got it. Right there.
right. Making new highs here in the S&P intraday.
Yep. Right up into a weekly zone here.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, if we didn't have the weekly trading zone there, right, Dwayne? This would have been a 2097 setup?
Yeah, let's have a look.
Just as,
Yeah, everything was there. In fact, you had a setup that...
The new pivot high.
...that you could have traded right into the zone.
Yeah. The Energizer Bunny just keeps on going and going and going.
See,
I know, from being down, well, it was down about 150 at one point. Here we go, probably in the day up.
It's almost comical.
It is. Bad news? Oh. Bye, bye.
Yeah.
Those idiots selling.
2097, what lended credence even to that trade was we came down, we began to print support.
Right,
and
that's
then
what
we did
I was
that
saying.
Little trick where we stick our head out below the level. And this is, for me, a major reversal signal. Two identical candles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Open, close, mirror images of each other. So now you're back above.
Okay.
Support. You then pull back to touch the support again.
Mm-hmm.
And you're off and away. And even the issue here is, on a market if touched, if you were rounding up one tick, as we teach, it might or might not got filled right there. Looks like that's... You've probably been rounding up to 69.5, the low of that bar. 69.5. So on a market if touched, you could have gotten filled there. And you had 2 points to run prior to hitting the weekly zone. So, although it was tight, everything supported you along the way. It blew here, blew here, blew here. So, yeah, I should have been looking at that. We could have put a trade on.
Can I take you off the subject a little bit, Dwayne?
Go ahead.
Had a customer ask how you drew the weekly trading zones in the chart.
How I draw them on the chart?
Yeah, how you put the vertical or the horizontal lines in there.
Okay. See where my cursor is here, horizontal line?
Yep.
Okay, let's say I had a weekly trading zone that was 1176. I would click here. I would go over to 1176. Weekly trading zone, 1176. Wow. Okay, now I'll show you how I really do it. What I did was is I took the horizontal line. I put a horizontal line on my chart. I double-clicked it and brought up the properties box for horizontal line. For the style, I made it a dash. For the width, I made it a 2. And then I came down here. And under custom text, you can make it say whatever you want. And then at the very bottom, text option, I chose custom text and current value. So again, real quick, you just plop a horizontal line on your chart. Double-click it. And you might not want a dash. You might want something other than a dash. You might want a dash dot, a dot dot dot, a dash dot dot, or even a solid line. You might not want it gray. You might want it some different color. You might want it to not say weekly trading zone. You might want it to just say the price. If you don't want it to say anything, then you don't type in WTZ, or you type in whatever you would like to type in. And then you come down here, and ultimately you tell it you want it to display the current value, the custom text you've added, or the custom text and the current value. Once you've done all that, you click here, Save as Default, close it, and then every time you wanted to put down a weekly trading zone, you just go here. Okay, weekly trading zone is 74. And then you just drag it down to 74, and there you are. So that's how we do it. Now, what I also do is on... See how the number is on the bottom of the zone here and the top of the zone here?
Oh, yeah.
What you do is right here, alignment,
mm-hmm.
you just change lower to upper,
mm-hmm.
close it, and it puts the 7450 above the line. Default is below the line. So on this one I use the default, and then on this one I actually use upper and put it up above. Alright, now let's make sure I got my right zones on my chart. 72, 73. Not 74.50. And not 76. Okay. So hopefully that explained the process. If I can be of any other help, shoot me an email. ct@cfrn.net. But once you go in there and drop a horizontal line, double-click it, and then all the instructions inside the property box, they're pretty self-explanatory. Okay, we could get a turn out of this weekly zone here, 72, 73. We've got resistance supporting, we've got resistance printing here. Still need to see this rollover. This envelope will need to close and go red. Okay, Raul, good point. You need infinite mode in that as well so that your lines continue to move with the chart, with price, with time. They just keep extending to the right. I didn't point that out, so thank you, Raul. Infinite mode, folks. When you double-click, mode, infinite. And then once you've made all those changes, if you save it as default, then you don't have to do that again. The only problem with making that your default is if you're just trying to put a horizontal line somewhere that's not a weekly trading zone, then once you place that line, you have to go and take the text off if that is going to, you know, cause you an issue.
Thanks, Dwayne.
Sure.
No, Raul had the question, actually.
Okay, the Dow's off 87. S&P is down by 8. Comp is off by 20. And here we sit right in the middle of the weekly trading zone, 72, 73, which is where we were opened Sunday night. It's where we spent a good part of the pre-market yesterday. It's where we spent most of the overnight last night, the 72-73 zone. And now this morning, just pulled right back up to it. So getting above this could send us on our way to 82.83. We've got 3 minutes left in this candle here. We'll see if it closes above the zone. It sets the stage for potential rally. We have to look left. see where the most recent swing high was? That's at 78. That was the overnight high. Swing high prior to that was high of the week at 82. Now, interestingly enough, red envelope here, green candle, big green candle. The envelope's trying to close. Let's see what's going to happen. Let's see if it's going to actually close and turn blue on us. Hasn't happened yet.
Dwayne, you want to draw a trend line off the top of yesterday and that off the two tops there? Maybe we're congesting here. Maybe creating a triangle and coil. Take it off of yesterday's high where you have that yellow arrow pointing down, and then last night's high. Connect the dots.
Looking for there or there?
Actually, you can do both, actually. It's just
you like
some
the
people
top,
do
don't
it.
You?
Yeah, I like the tops. That's just me. But that is a good point. Another way to do it is to draw it off the bodies there.
Because if we draw it off the bodies, then we're going to end up with... Well, now I use the top of my starting point because that is a valid point. I mean, it's a high point. But then I tend to go with the bodies as I draw across because that represents...
closes...
The actual body of the candle itself. And you can argue it two different ways, and really you begin to split hairs. So what's going to happen is we're going to get some rejection here or here. Will it be enough to reverse the market? I don't know about that. But we'll feel some resistance here and here. We'll probably feel it in both places. Why? Because a bunch of people draw theirs like this, and a bunch of people draw theirs like this. So... unless there's something happening, some bigger force in the market that's pushing prices higher, we'll get a feel of it right there. All right, 2097, we're still printing resistance. We're still attempting to get into a shorting position. In order for that to happen, this needs to roll over and turn red. Cycle indicator needs to turn over and turn red. Envelope needs to go red. Then we'll have a short. And what a shame that we were looking at other charts and not this chart, because we could have taken this trade and it would have worked out just fine for us. Everything else on the 2097 looking across this morning has been that was a good trade here, except you were coming right into the zone, but now you're coming out of the zone. But it was a bit of a mixed issue. If you could have caught this wave here, had a good move up, but then just chopping back and forth against that 72-73 area. So we finally penetrated it right there. This could turn into a very good short, one that we might have an opportunity to trade all the way back down to 65, 66. We'll just have to give it some time to develop. Haven't heard from Leslie lately. She doing okay?
Oh, you know what? She was coughing and sneezing all day yesterday. So I just said, go home early and don't come back tomorrow because you're going to get me sick, and I have three kids, and they'll get the rest of the room sick. She's like, no. I'm like, go home. So, yeah, she's been under the weather. And now if I'm on the phone or maybe in the chat room or doing some other things, she helps pick up the phone and stuff. So, but, yeah, she's not feeling good.
Now, for those of you that were hanging out in the training room with Jerry, they actually took that long trade.
Right.
They were on top of their game. They were watching what was happening. So. All right, Michael, are you coming back? David, are you out there yet?
I am back. I've been back.
Oh, you're back. Okay. All right. Anything you want to add to what's happening here? I mean, it's just been very quiet.
I'm just watching things go sideways. Crude seems to be the only thing that's really a mover today. You know, that's got any fluctuation anyway. Anything to speak of. Yeah, everything else is going sideways. Soybeans are going sideways. Hang on. What's the beans going sideways? Sorry, I was just flipping. I was looking at the 10-year notes calling them soybeans. There we go. Okay, soybeans are going sideways. I knew they were going sideways. 10-year notes are going sideways. Gold had a little bit of an up move here, but it's back to sideways. The YM's choppy, but it just had an up move with the ES at the same time. The crude is the only thing that's really been moving. You know, the 6E has been choppy. It had an up move a few minutes ago with the ES, but it, most of the day it's been difficult to trade, we'll say. Because by the time you get your signal, everything's already way oversold or way overbought. And that's pretty much it. That's pretty much it. You know, right over here we had on the 2097 an opportunity in here. And on the 900 tick, right now we are overbought. But I don't know if it's going to be able to come out of this. It's going to drop down. And that's it. That's all we have going on. Right here we're at 72.73, which is a weekly zone. There's not a lot to do right here. Yeah, we have to wait and see if we're going to bounce up off of this, or just kind of meander around within it, or drop down and go zone to zone again. In the overnight, we went from the upper zone at 82.83 down to 72.73, then pre-market down to 66.65, which was the zone. We chopped around there a little bit, went back up to 72.73, and now it's acting as though it's going to decide whether we're going to go up or down.
I've already bragged about all that twice, I think, or...
Yeah, I
maybe
know.
Maybe three times because there's just...
Those zones are incredible.
Because there's just nothing else going on. Bert, of all the markets, you know all the markets. You're the market man. What market, come heck or high water, has tons of intraday volatility?
Well, man. I'll give you the gray answer. I mean, it just depends on what's going on. You know what I'm saying? Because let's say there's no economic reports.
I know you got a compliance department. Just tell us the truth.
No, I would be blunt.
I'm kidding.
I mean, which market has the most volatility? I'd say right now, crude oil.
Really? Is that it?
Yeah, it's a mover and a shaker. But see, the thing is, everything's correlated. If S&P's going up, or... You know, something's affecting the dollar, that means, let's say, all right, let's look at today. Stock market's down. Why? Because China says they're going to raise rates. What happens to the dollar? Dollar goes up, 6E goes down, stocks go down, crude goes down, gold goes down. You know, they're all correlated. You know, so, you know, when there's no economic news, then you can expect the S&P to trade in a 10-point range from high to low, or the Dow in a 100-point range. Soybeans, it could fall on a Monday or Thursday, or Monday, Tuesday morning or Thursday morning day, and there might have been something fundamental that kicks the soybean market around. You know, or if there's nothing economical, then the 10-year notes and the bonds are going to flatline because there's nothing really shoving that market around. So that's why, like, what Michael's doing here, when something's not going on here in front of us in the ES, he's maybe looking for an opportunity in gold, soybeans, crude oil, and he's looking at different areas. So if you want something that's really rock and rolling on a daily basis, crude might be your fancy. Because that,
you know, I could only get over the aversion to trade crude. That's my own personal thing, though.
Why do you have a personal thing against crude?
It's just because I had a bad experience trading it about 3 weeks ago.
Oh.
That's like me and cotton. I bought the high, I sold the low, I'll never trade cotton. That's that game over for me for cotton. So that's usually what it takes.
Well, I see. I had a stop jump. That was my thing. And you know, I know that that's an electronic thing more than a reflection of the market or the indicators, but it's a psychological thing for me. And if the market trades with gaps in it in such a way that my stop can get jumped, then that, you know, for me, that's it just makes it a little more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at the crude right now, and it's coming off an area, and it looks like everything's ready to curl up and give a long trade here, using a 4-tick range on the crude right now.
That wouldn't surprise me if the S&P was trying to put in some kind of a low here.
Yeah.
The crude would benefit, and the gold would benefit, and that means the dollar set back a little bit, and that means the 6E is going up. You know, it's all just... Well, here's a break in the action here with the S&P here. A little double top up there.
Yep, we got the double top on the 10K right here.
Yeah.
What I would have expected to see happen there is a higher high, but it didn't happen. It's pulled back down to the 21 EMA on the 10K here right now. And what I would expect to see here is a higher pivot. If we don't get a higher pivot, then we could be rolling down here from our weekly trading zone. Okay, I just flipped over to gold. Gold is showing a little weakness right here, too. Let me see. The 6E had a little bit of a run up here just a minute ago, and now it's pretty much sitting still, waiting. I think we're all waiting to see what's going to happen here. Let me just check.
Every child born in America today comes into this world owing the federal government $43,000. Now that price will go up a little bit tomorrow, but today it's $43,000.
Huh.
Now, you think about it, okay, I'm being born into the greatest country, the face of the earth, I'm going to have health care, thanks to the administration, I'll be able to go to the store and buy meat that's safe to eat, I'll be able to drive on roads that don't have too many potholes. I'll be able to turn on the faucet and drink clean water. Chances are I'll be able to own a home and get an education. So, okay, I'm just an infant. I'm only a couple of hours old, but my admission fee is $43,000, and I realize it's going to take me a large portion of my life to pay that off, and, of course, I'm going to have to pay interest. But you know what? To be born in America, that sounds like a pretty good price of admission. Sign me up. Slap me on the butt. Sign me up. I'll pay the $43,000. Now, if that were really how it is, that wouldn't be such a bad deal, because that child, that newborn infant, would be committing to paying our government $43,000, which then our government could, in turn, take that money and use it to improve our infrastructure, improve our quality of living, spend on research and development, do all kinds of wonderful things. Here's the rub. Our government owes that $43,000 to foreign nationals. So it's not our money. So the child that's born today, $43,000 in debt, he's got to pay it to the federal government, but the federal government has to pay it to foreign nationals. That's scary. That's really scary. Yeah, we're getting ready to print more money. Price tag's going to go up.
I'm looking at these other markets right now, and I don't like the way any of this is coming together. The the crude looks like it's getting ready to go long. Soybeans look like they're ready to go short. The YM looks like it's getting ready to go long. Gold. Oop, I just missed a big move down in gold. Gold was getting ready to go short a few minutes ago. At 46.6, and it dropped down to 45.4, 45.3, in that range.
John made it funny. He said, now we know why babies cry when they're born.
Yes.
Yes, we do. All right. Mr. Jerry says I should look at the 30-minute candle. Yep.
Gold is having a strong move up right here. Or it was. Look left. Crazy.
Gold ran into the previous swing high. Are you on a 4-tick range on the gold?
I am on a 3-tick range on the gold, but yeah, it went right to the previous swing high and bounced right back down. It's got a lot of volatility right now. It was sitting still for a little while there, and now it's suddenly at 12.11. 12.11, there was a lot of volume in gold for some reason. I'm not sure why.
On the 10K, we broke that initial trend line that we drew. We've now pulled back into the zone, and on the 10K, we've got the 21 period EMA just below us. It's 10.72. So any close between 10.72 is going to open the door for a short trade. We have one of our three indicators positioned here to take advantage of this trade. This trade should be good. If it all comes together, should be good back down to 68.50 and potentially 65.66. Need the rest of the pieces to come together.
Yeah, something is brewing here right now. The gold, I was just watching a second ago, there was over 1,000 units on the ask, just on, I forgot what price it was, 45, 46, right there, 45.90, 46. And there it is again, 45.40. Again at 45 right there. Now that gold is traded pretty thin, so what that suggests is that people are loading up for a move one way or the other here, or they're covering shorts.
Michael, one of the members just asked me to show them how to put the drawing tool on the side of the chart the way I have it, which I just showed how to do that a couple of times. But now, Raul would like to know how to... He can't even get the toolbar. Where's the drawing toolbar? Is it...
Okay, hang on a sec. I'll describe it.
It's up there, Dwayne. There you go. Go to tools. Go to... No. Oh, what are you...
You kind of have to build it. That's how I had to do it anyway.
Back to my chart. 2097. Oh, insert. You have an insert up there? No, you don't.
No. View toolbars. And then...
Toolbars is not an option.
Oh, it is on mine. Oh, you know what? We might be... No, we're looking at the same thing. I have view toolbars. It is one.
You.
I think you can.
Toolbars, yeah, I have the same thing. Why doesn't Dwayne have it?
I don't
Maybe
know.
Because I've already got it open?
No,
that doesn't make sense either.
Bert, you heard back from Chris today?
All right. I did not.
Okay, did you forward my answer to him?
I did.
Okay. So, yeah, we don't need the arrows, the text, anything, just the charts. And then we're obviously going to have to just have a class on once a day. We'll just walk people through how to import the indicators until they grasp the vision, and maybe we can move forward with the other part. But just having that layout, I appreciate his comments, because that layout would have been confusing because it had arrows from a previous week, it had trend lines from a previous week. So, yeah, it did need to be cleaned up. So I'm glad he pointed that out.
Okay.
What we're trying to do, folks, we're trying to make it very simple for you to import the DT Pro platform for your free trial demo and easily open up the layout just like you see it on my screen and put the indicators in. And so Michael is going to create a short video that walks you through the process. But one of the tech guys is cleaning up the layout so that it will be able to be installed. From what will happen is when you install your demo, you'll go to layout and you'll click on the CFRN client layout, and boom, it'll open up all the charts. And then all you'll need to do is go to indicator store. And Michael, Chris told us yesterday how this can all be done with one click.
Oh, nice.
So I was trying to figure out how to get you in on that call, and I couldn't figure it out. So
I know. I was asking Bert, how do I get in on this call? And he said that I have to be transferred in.
That's what you were saying.
That's what I was trying to do.
Because sometimes if I pick up another line, I'll transfer them into the show. And so I thought that's what you were saying. Hey, I transferred someone into the show, and you were listening to us talk about things.
I was trying to get in on the call with Wayne.
Is that we bundle these, and it becomes a one-click process, and so everything gets, what was the term he used, Bert? Not authorized, but entitled.
Entitlements.
Yes. One entitlement covers everything.
Okay. Then we wouldn't be able to do one-offs. Right.
Yeah, which we can have that conversation.
Okay. I think we're of the same mind with that. Yeah. I'm looking here and...
Dwayne, go to the top area of your charts, to the right of your crosshairs, click Configure, Toolbar, drop down, and New. Thank you, Jerry.
Good thing we got Jerry.
Since you guys are tired of playing around. Ah, you're a funny guy, Jerry. Dwayne, go to the top area of the charts, to the right of the crosshairs.
I think that's how I had to build my own toolbar, my new drawing thing.
Jerry.
But if you click on that down arrow, then you should get add or remove buttons. Then click on that.
Yeah, I got that.
And you can click on standard buttons. Everything's in there. So you can go in there and grab all those buttons. Or customize. I think that's what I did.
Yeah, all we were looking for was a drawing toolbar.
Yeah, I know. You were looking for a complete toolbar. You can make one.
Right.
I think that's pretty much what I had done.
There's no drawing tools in here.
No, I don't see them. But I thought that that's how I had done it. I don't know. I have the view and toolbars, too.
To the right of the drop-down arrow, Jerry. I don't have anything to the right of the drop-down arrow, buddy. Right. Yeah, I know right. Oh, you mean my other right. No, this is right. There's the drop-down. Oh, right click. Okay. Show toolbars. Okay, Raul, we'll do this. Come over here to this area, this empty area, right click, and then click show toolbars. Or click configure. Ah. category.
Drawing tools. There it is.
Drawing tools. There they are.
There it is.
Apply. Okay. Thank you, Jerry. We would have never, ever figured out to right-click this empty area over here without you. Okay, short trade still trying to set up on 2097. Blue envelope closing on the DMT. Looking for it to cross, turn red. CF cycle indicator, we're looking for that to turn red and curl down. CFMA1 ran into resistance, highlighted by the red dots that are printed on the screen. We wish we had all of our confirming indicators now, as we would like to be short from this area as opposed to a lower area, but we're going to wait for the indicators to come together.
Hey, Dwayne, you there?
Ben.
How you doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
Good. Sorry I've been missing you guys. It's just absolute scramble over on my end. So.
Hey, no problem. I understand you get busy. What's going on?
So, having kind of a high energy with very little movement day here. We've been having a couple busy days, so I mean, it's not a lot of follow through, but a lot of chop trade. You know, with that whole situation with Friday with Google and the run up there. I think it was up like 10% or whatever it was, and then you see that strong run up with Apple, some of the other tech stocks. Nasdaq's just been strong all the way across the board, and then, you know, a little bit of a pullback last night. Oil broke in the overnight session, and a little bit of a pullback here, but still holding some of these critical levels. You know, I mean, while we can sell off a little bit, we're not really going anywhere, and if you look at the daily chart, I mean, we've got 4 or 5 days now stacked up sideways, so we're basically just continuing to develop horizontally. But this verbal move, I mean, assuming it's not kind of a slow grind higher, which is how it's breaking out of these value areas for the most part over the last couple weeks now, if that doesn't happen, we're going to see some conviction with this move. It's just, can't tell you which way, but I know it's going to move one way or the other. Like I said, I think if it's up, probably be more in like a grind kind of mode. If it's, you know, if it's down, though, I really think we'll see some energy coming to the downside here. But there's some major levels of support on the way down, so it's going to take something, you know. What are you guys seeing?
Not much, man. Yesterday was just, it was just absolutely grueling. I had a trade on, and I had to leave to go pick someone up from the airport. And I said, well, I better just take my trade off because I got to go to the airport. And so I scratched out of it at a 3-tick loss because the market was just going nowhere. Go to the airport, pick up my friend, do the running around, come back home. It's almost 2 hours later. Had I not taken myself out of that trade, I'd have still been in it 2 hours later without hitting a target, without hitting a stop. So,
yeah, I mean, it was a brutal trade yesterday. I mean, it's been really quiet, you know, and I mean, aside from, you know, I don't really watch them volume-wise and watch how they trip as closely, you know, over the last couple months as I intend to in the next couple months, but the only thing that's really had any energy in it that I've seen has been gold, oil, and some of the currencies, you know, but it all comes around. It's going to come back around again, is my guess. And I still feel like the energy with us is going to be to the downside right now. So I don't think there's much in terms of numbers left for this week, though. We've got jobless on Thursday, and can't really think of any big market movers.
No.
So let me run, though, Dwayne, okay?
Huh?
Let me run.
All right, buddy. Thanks,
okay,
Ben.
Okay, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Even when the floor guy can't give you something, you know, some news.
Yeah, when
just,
the guy from the floor can't when the guy from the floor can't even get you worked up. All right. Michael, you still there?
You betcha. I am still here. I'm watching right now. I'm watching crude, which came to a standstill. Gold had a move a minute ago. Gold had a move down. When I said all those orders were lining up on the ask, it moved down from there. So it's kind of what I thought it was going to do. The soybeans flipping back over there, sideways to up right now. Not really offering all that much. And the 10-year notes, they're still sideways. So I'm back over on the ES now, looking at the 900 tick. And we had an opportunity on the 900 tick here to short from 72.50, would have been in at 72.75 with an MIT order. And that one is now down. Well, it had a low of 71. That was on the 900 tick on the ES. There have been a couple of opportunities here in the last, the last hour on the ES. Hour and a half, maybe. But you see that short opportunity right over there.
Right, yeah, right.
Most recent one over there. Yep, right in there. And the long one back at, 8:30, right in that range, yep, right back there. Those were the opportunities.
Yeah, as quiet as this market is, I mean, we may just have to tone it down to the 900 and start. But we don't get a full move, so I've got to, it's the 2 points, the swings being large enough to pull 2 points, it gets tricky, 2097. So market conditions have just slowed down such that we may have to progress to a little quicker time frame, maybe a 1597. I'll have a look at a couple different time frames, but it does. Here lately, and if you can get a couple good setups. Well, in saying that, let me say that if you get a couple good setups today, you did good, and you can make your money. First thing you're going to have to learn in this trading game is patience. Yes, I'd rather be trading than waiting, but that's not how it works. You can do that, but... All right. Hey, Mike, we're going to do a conference call with Chris to try to get this thing firmed up. So when we all take a break here in a bit, will you be available for a conference call, or do you have to go somewhere?
I have to go somewhere, but I can take my cell phone, so hopefully I'll be able to help you out.
If you would instant message or text over... Unless Bert already has your cell phone number, then I just asked him to include us on the call.
Okay.
In fact, I'm gonna run, because you're probably gonna have to take off in a minute, right?
Yeah, very shortly here.
Let
I'm gonna
run
have
down,
to take
fill
off.
My coffee cup downstairs, fill my coffee cup up, and then David will come on, and then we'll probably wrap it for the day. My charts will be running. I'll be back most probably for the final hour. I wish there was more drama and excitement that I could bring to the listeners. But, we've brought you the platform. We've brought you the indicators. We're teaching you the setups. And, we could fill the airwaves, I suppose, with all other types of, stuff. But I don't think that's what you want. I don't think that's what's relevant. I don't think that's what's important. I think you want to learn how to take a couple points a day out of the market so that you can, for some people, so you can have a job. For other people, so that you can, fund good works, build orphanages, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, house the homeless, and build churches, preach the gospel, and all kinds of things. So, we can talk about distracting things, or we can talk about the market. And I know that sometimes we do get caught up in distracting things. But right here, right now, there's a short setting up on the 2097. And I'm gonna go get my coffee, but I'll sell 72.5. going to change in a moment, though, on this next bar. It's going to go to 72 and a quarter, I think.
Well, if you give me, if you make me an organizer and give me keyboard and mouse, I can watch it for you while you're gone,
you know,
if you want.
That's awesome. Yeah. Let's do that. Let's do exactly that. Your depth of market display is blocking the chart ID. Can you lower it? Yes, sir. I'll be happy to. I see what you're saying. You can't tell what time frame I'm on. Okay. Yeah, thanks for pointing that out, Joe. I'll have to try to remember that going forward. Okay, Michael, you've got organizer, so you can make yourself presenter, right?
I can make myself presenter.
If you want to. Okay. Okay. All right. I'll be right back.
Okay. I can flip it over and give it to me.
Okay.
And then when Dwayne comes back, we can look at his. All right. Hold on. Stay with me here. Stay with me here. All right. Here we go. You guys are going to see some things over here that you don't have or that are not available yet, but that's okay. Just bear with me. Things have to be tested out. All right. This is this right here is ES900 tick. You can see right here we had red, 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 red. Everything was red. So we had a short opportunity right up in here. That's gone down just about to the profit target now, because with an MIT order, you would have gotten in up here at 72.50, 72.25. All right. So the two-point profit target is right down here. Now let's go over here. These are the soybeans. We'll be coming up here momentarily. Here they are. Soybeans were a little messy. See how they were going sideways? That's what I was telling everyone. They were going sideways. This here is the gold. The gold just had a nice move down here. The place to get into it, though, was up here. And I believe I tried to, but I don't think I filled over here. Right over here would have been the place to get into the short move on the gold. You can see we had red, 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 and red. It was going right into a... Hang on a second. Little tooltip things drive me nuts. Let me get rid of the tooltips. I like the tooltips, but they just stay on too long. Okay. So we had red, 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 and red here, and I was looking to get short on that, and it had a nice move down right in here. Let me just see what the audience view is here. Make sure we're all on the same page. Right in this flat section here, that is where I was telling you that all those bids, I mean all those orders were coming onto the ask. Okay. That's what I was talking about. And I was saying something is brewing. There's going to be a big move one way or the other here. The odd thing is that the ES just dropped down, and so did gold. So, seems like it's more a flight out of the market than it is a flight to safety. Let's look at a couple other things here. This is crude. I'm going to flip over to crude here. Okay. We're on crude right now, and you can see over here there was a move in crude. I was talking about this, but I didn't do anything with it because it was going flat at the time. It still went pretty flat, and there was no way to get into this using the normal setups. There's no way to get into this, but it has been moving around quite a bit today. Okay, I'll scroll over a little. Oops, see if you can see some of these better moves. Over here it was blue, blue, and blue. Lots of blue on the way up. Red, red, and red right here on the way down. Over here was a lot of blue at the open. Okay. That was the crude that was giving us opportunity there. Now, the 6E, as I said yesterday, the 6E opens up, it opens up earlier, and you usually have your best moves. You usually have your best moves before most of us sleepy-headed Americans are even awake. So over here, you see we had blue, and blue suggesting a move up. And over here, a move down was red, red, and red. Just looking around, looking to see if there are any good opportunities here where it gave us anything good. The pullback in here was too late. Over here, you didn't get a pullback, so you couldn't have gotten into that. No pullback there. A lot of these moves are just too fast today. Over here, there was a pullback right here. See right here. I think I'm talking too fast. Move my mouse around too fast. I don't think your screen's catching up. I think Dwayne just got his fill. Order on.
No,
I can't manage.
I did never put the order on. I got to talking to you about how you were going to manage it for me.
I saw we never did the keyboard and mouse swap, so I was okay with that.
Oh.
I saw the order wasn't there either.
Oh, okay. Well, I've got the order in now. It's 71 and a quarter.
Okay, well, let's flip over there. We'll go back to the 900 tick. I think the 900 tick was saying this move was pretty much cooked, but you have it in at 71.25 from the 2097, correct?
Yep.
Okay. And that would be right up here that you're looking for the short on. Red, red, and red, and red. Lots of red. So 71.42 is the 21 EMA. Round that down, 71.25. And we're good to go there. This is the 10,000 contract. And for me, it shows what a choppy market it's been through here, all the way through here. The range, 67.75 up to 72.5. You know, it's been about a 5-point range for most of the day. You know, from over here, 11.51, all the way to, is that 11.51? No, that wasn't. That was 10.08. Sorry. To pretty much now, even. Yeah, you know, we broke out of it a little bit here, but it's still pretty much right back within that range. So from 2.5 hours, almost 3 hours now, it's been in this range. That's not a good thing. What I would expect to have seen here would be a higher high right here, but we've got this double top. Okay. We didn't get the higher high to confirm the uptrend. Instead, it came back down, and it's having a deep pullback. It just suggests we're in chop here. What I would expect to see is a close-up above the MA1 here and then a higher pivot. But if we don't get that, we're likely to be in chop for a long time today. It's 12:41 right now. Now, let me...
Yeah, we've got a good 2-point rejection out of the weekly trading zone. Lower...
Yes.
Side of the zone 72, we've already traded back to 70.
Yep, right here was the zone. 72. Just looking around to see if there's anything else that's moving with it here. And, you know, this is, these are the 10-year notes right here.
I was going to put something on there because we made a higher pivot, right? Or
we did put in a higher pivot right here. Right here, we just put in a higher pivot. We crossed into the envelope here from the bottom.
Right.
And the cycle is down low. Cycle's on the down low.
So you buy 126.25 half?
Right in here is where we would have been looking to buy, yeah. Right in here, 26.25 half, yep. After it popped the top here.
Mm-hmm.
And came back. It's not printing any... Here we go. It's not printing our resistance stops yet. I expect the resistance stops won't be too much higher, though. 28.5 probably, I would think, mm-hmm. right in that range. You know, just looking at the legs, the leg length.
Oh, I gotcha.
This was 26.20 up to 26.25 half. So 23 even, we'll probably get up to 28 half.
Something to do here. I'll try to get in there.
That's what I would think. And looking over here at the YM. Dwayne, that is Phil. I think. That sounded like a Phil.
That was a Phil.
And it looks to be perfectly placed with the cycle up on top, the red DMT, and the pullback up here.
And now just adjusting the stop and target so that they match up to the fill. We were attempting to get filled at 71.25, but because we traded market have touched, the actual fill was 71.
I'll be back in just a second, guys, okay?
Okay. Yeah, Bert, David should be on any moment now, and once we finish talking to him, we'll take our break and wrap up the podcast for the day. Michael will be back later in the day. I'll be back later in the day, but during that break period, that might be a good time to get that conference call taken care of.
You want to IM me the phone number? You want me to call you?
Sure.
Okay.
Good morning, Dwayne.
Hey, good morning, David. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Yourself?
I'm doing well. Just watching the market and having, we're having a little bit of a move today, although it's pretty quiet right now. And as soon as you're freed up, and I don't know if Michael Bork's still with us or not.
Yeah, he's taking a little break, so we're ready for you. Yep, go right ahead.
Okay. Well, let's see. Where do we begin, Dwayne? Where would you like to start? At the very beginning of the market, the stock exchange opening, and let's start from there, just to get a good grasp of where we are now. Let's go back to the very beginning.
Okay.
No.
Let's start with when are you going to have that class? Have you come up with a date yet?
Well, we're coming a lot closer than we were. I am hesitant to give you a date today or any time until we have it because we came out so early in advance. You're talking about the Master Forecaster class.
Right.
And, you know, unfortunately, that was a frustration for ourselves and for people as well. So, but we're much, much closer to it than we were just a month ago. And so we're still on. We're still fully intending on doing it. There's no issues there. And there was an issue there for a short period of time. And so I will give you the very first, as soon as we have that date, I'll give it to you immediately. And we'll go from there. But we're a lot closer than we were. I'm hesitant to give a date until we really can say that's the exact date that we're going to start it.
Okay.
So just for people who are interested in a little bit, hearing a little bit more about that, for today on the hourly chart, today's second hour would have been the normal on-time hour for a reflected wave hourly bottom. So one of the interesting things about reflected wave is that it's a timing technique that works on virtually any time frame you select. There's many different techniques in timing the market that only work on certain time frames. And the vast majority, in fact, probably 99% of the turning point methodologies out there cannot tell you in advance whether a turning point is going to be a top or a bottom. So reflected wave actually does tell you whether it's going to be specifically a top or specifically a bottom in advance, which is a very useful piece of information, and it does it in a very natural way. And when you learn how it does it, you'll see for yourself that it's very natural and very
understandable why it can do that. But there's a number of different turning point methodologies, all the way from using Fibonacci time sequences, which this has nothing to do with. There's a method called Delta out there, which is by Wells Wilder, who developed timing technique based upon the moon, the sun, and the earth, their relative position, but it's very sloppy timing-wise. It does attempt to tell you whether it's a top or a bottom, but it's even more sloppy with regard to the actual playing out of whether it's a top or a bottom. It's basically, in my opinion, it's not really useful for trading without other pieces in place, whereas reflected wave is precise enough. It's plus or minus 1 unit of time. And tomorrow, just for everyone who might be interested, is the next important reflected wave daily bottom. So that's the 20th of October. So now it's possible that the low has already been seen today. It is possible because today we did go down. We tested some important levels in our support and resistance panel, one of which is the 1162 level. Today's low is, in our panel, it's listed as 63/62. Today's low was 62.75, and they're bouncing off that. And in a very bullish environment, the market will tend to put in bottoms either on time or 1 unit early. And so today, the unit is, we're talking about daily. So when we say the word unit, we mean whatever time frame that the turning point exists on. In this particular case, it's a daily turning point for October 20th. Daily is the unit. And so 1 unit early would be today, October 19th. So it's possible that the turn came 1 day early. But until we get a little bit more action today, it's very quiet and slow here, we'll see. My preference for trading these, as I've mentioned before, and Duane, I think you fully understand where I'm coming from when I say this, is I would really prefer to trade the on-time bar, which would be October 20th, mm-hmm. as a bottom, or especially the 1 unit late. About maybe 15%, maybe a little bit more of these occur 1 unit late. And the 1 unit late can be very, very powerful as a trading indication because the time cycle has then fully run out on the downside and the market really has nothing left to do except reverse and go up to satisfy other targets on the upside. So first bit of information for today then is that second hour was the on-time hour for a bottom and that came 1 unit early. Tomorrow is the on-time day for a daily market bottom, which may have come 1 unit early in this bullish uptrend. Our outlook on the longer term has been that the market would continue to go higher and make a test or attempt at 1199, and that it would make that test or attempt into October 22nd, or Monday, October 24th, whatever, 5th, whatever that day is, right around that time frame. And that still remains our outlook today. So even if this pullback goes a little further on the downside, we are still looking right now for that, for those higher prices. And, you know, we've had, like I talked about yesterday, in technical terms, a hell of a rally. And off of the August, late August bottom. And the market continues really, even with today's pullback and with other pullbacks that we've had, the market has been very buoyant in these pullbacks. It goes down and is very quickly brought back to sort of a balancing point, so to speak. Doesn't seem to have trouble holding these levels. And so the market still is showing that type of behavior. In our support and resistance panel for today, the lowest price that we have for the market on the downside would be 1159, 1158. And so that's not too far from the 62 target that we had already hit, which means that Messenger Pro is really looking for the market to hold up here. But I do want to say that since we have triggered a bottom for tomorrow, it's probably doable to short rallies. I think you mentioned a few minutes ago that you were looking to short 72.50 or something like that, which we would be interested in that as well. If they went a little higher than that, that would be more interesting for us.
We're actually short right now from 71.
Okay, so you did short it. Mm-hmm. Well, good. Well, the position's already in your favor then, and the market is attempting lower. We were hoping to see a slightly higher price. The market was unable to hit that price And because it didn't, that shows that there is some selling pressure here. So I like your short position because you're short in the direction of weakness. So where would you trade that to, Dwayne?
Well, we just have a two-point target down at 69. The previous swing low was 67.75, but our next weekly zone down below us is 65.66. So an initial target would be 69. A little more aggressive than that would be 67, would be actually 68. And then I guess an aggressive type target would be 66 and a quarter.
Okay.
We're just looking to trade at the 69. That's all.
Yeah, no, that's beautiful. That's a nice little trade. That's the way to do it, is just find a nice little spot. And today's volatility and recent volatility that we've seen, by recent I mean now several weeks worth of the kind of behavior that we've seen, where the market opens up, we have a move, an initial move, the market has released that energy, the market then sort of trades inside the opening range for maybe the next 5 hours. And quite often the opening range might only be 5 points or 7 points, and it stays within that range and then finishes the day up with a closing move sometimes. And so that type of behavior is very common right now. We're seeing that again today. So having said all that, again, I just want to say that to us, the bias does remain longer term on the upside. And so to summarize just real quick, today's second hour was a reflected wave hourly bottom. Tomorrow, October 20th, is the next important daily market bottom, plus or minus one unit at a time. And that the bias remains bullish for us for higher prices into late this week, early next week, with the 1199 target quite possible. If they weren't at that target at that time, as long as they are reasonably close by levels here, we would then look to begin the move to those targets at that time. But for the time being, as I mentioned yesterday, any bullish signal from this point forward, one of which that we mentioned yesterday would be hourly closes or daily closes above 1179, would put the market, I believe that was the number we said, into a stronger position and put us into a more bullish mode to take the trade up to the attempt at 1199. So if we do get a daily close above 1179, that would be a pretty good indication that something was going on. And the same day that closes above it could run to 1199, or very close to that number. So just be ready for that on the upside. And I think really for the S&P right now, there's really not a lot more to go over, because the market really is just sitting quietly here trading back and forth inside today's relatively narrow range. Although today's gap opening on the downside looks good, it shows some normal cyclical movement happening. But you know, it's a Globex move for the most part. Really, not a lot happened after that, except of the small advance or the reasonable advance that we had, the tradable advance that we had off this today's low at 62. The upside target for today, where they're trading or where they bounced off of, was 73. 73 is listed in our panel today as well as an important selling level. So that's one of the reasons I liked your trade, is because, you know, the market ran into this level. We would have liked to have seen a little bit higher prices, as I had mentioned earlier, but that's okay. You know, we missed that as an entry, and we'll wait for the next setup here in the S&P. If you want, Dwayne, we can switch real quick over to soybeans.
Okay.
Nothing, again, the soybean market did almost hit an important level for us today. We messaged yesterday in soybeans that we'd like to see a test of 1165. I think we messaged this out, or as low as 1163. Today, the market opened very quickly and tested the 1165 and 1160, or attempted 1163. We weren't able to really get the market down there enough for us to buy it. They've rallied up, and they're sort of going sideways right now at 1183. So it was a nice little advance, and I do encourage people to, again, to look at the soybean market and see if their own indicators, own ways of looking at the market have some value if they see some value in the market, because this is a market when it is volatile, it moves substantially better than the S&P does. It's just a different, it has better ranges, and it has, what I've said so many times, it has a little bit more honesty in its intentions with regard to how it acts at critical price levels. So the S&P will often look like it's failing at a level only to suddenly gain new strength and just go burst right through it and move on to another level. The soybeans can do that, but it doesn't do it with the same frequency, and it is, generally speaking, I consider it a little bit more honest in its intentions, if you can use that word. There might be a better word, but the S&P is a tricky market because it does have 500 different cross currents running in it, the 500 individual stocks that each are reacting to news and each are reacting to reports, et cetera. And partially, one of the things that's great about the S&P is that because of those 500 stocks, the market has a lot of predictability to it, strangely enough. That's one of the strange things about the S&P is that it is, you know, we make a living predicting the S&P, and it is a complicated market. It has complexity to it that other markets might not have. Financial indices are pretty much by nature more complicated than something like corn or cotton. I heard Bert say something about cotton before, but even though those markets are not as complicated,
I think he said cotton took his lunch money or something.
Yeah, and listen, cotton took my lunch money as well, so I fall in the same category as Bert. Cotton is, I think, a New York Exchange market, and they're just known for very tricky behavior, huge stops sliding. Like if you have a stop to get out of a market to protect yourself, and the market has a fast move in cotton or sugar, you can count on being slipped several cents. I mean, it's just it's a license to steal in that market. So you know, the simplicity of the market in those softs, you know, the cotton, the sugar, and some of these other markets, that simplicity is the goodness of that is taken away by the way that the market trades and the fact that in attempting to protect yourself with stops, the market they'll hand you the very worst fill. You'll routinely get the very worst fill of the day every single time. So that takes away some of the goodness for sure out of those markets. Whereas soybeans, we don't see that, and we do have an electronic market for soybeans now, which is a much fairer way to do it. I'm really happy about electronic markets, and a lot of people are, because it takes the middleman out of the equation, who's going to be tempted because he has certain rules that he can operate within and his little book there. And I'm not going to say that they're purposely going to do this every day, but honestly, they are going to purposely do it every day. They're going to take your order, and they have up to 3 minutes or whatever the time frame is to fill it, and they're going to give you and everyone else the worst fill, and they essentially are in real time cooking the books right there in front of you. We're talking about not having an electronic market. And so the guy on the floor, he has a special skill he has to develop, and that special skill is to cook the books in real time. He doesn't have a lot of time to sit down and figure out all that stuff. He has to know how to cook them right now, right with the markets moving. And so if you ask me, do I think the pit-traded version of markets are fair and that you're getting what is really supposed to be given to you, my answer is actually no, I don't. I think the guy on the floor is in the business of making sure that you don't get what is fair, and once in a while he has to give it to you. But these guys are very skilled at what they do, and when the electronic markets came, what they did for people who know what these guys were doing on the floor, what they did is they eliminated that guy so that now when you buy or sell, you're buying or selling directly from the other guy, the guy that used to be on the other side of the middleman that we're discussing now. The middleman's gone, and you're electronically lined up with other buyers and sellers, and the bid-ask spread is now not being stolen from you. And as it is in sugar and cotton, where they'll slip you 3 or 4 cents, you can rest assured that if you have a stop somewhere, and this has been going on for decades, I mean, this is no news to anybody that's been in the markets for a while, those guys are going to take as much from you as they can. And that takes some of the fairness out of the market, certainly. The electronic markets brought all that back. And so years, decades of cooking the books in real time are starting to come to an end. And I think you've mentioned there's a movie about that, and you know, not everybody on the floor is a floor broker interacting with live customers through brokerages. Many of these people on the floor are just trading for their own accounts. So
yeah, those are called the locals. And yeah, there's two movies actually. One is called Floored, and the other one is called The Pit.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen both of them?
I've not seen either. I've watched the trailers of both of them. I don't think The Pit has been completed yet. Floored is out, and it's in my queue on Netflix, that as soon as it becomes available to on Netflix, they'll let me know and either allow me to stream it or they'll send me in the mail the DVD. But when I last checked, it said we don't know, it's out, we just don't know when we'll be able to share it with
right.
you. So.
And it's a really big thing because the floor has been around for, you know, 100 years. So the floor is going away. And so it's worthy of having a movie made about it. And so the electronic markets, anyway, long story short, the electronic markets are inherently dramatically more fair than the floor market is. And we're going to see more and more markets become electronic. And there'll be some new trick that'll be thrown in at some point. But for the time being, it's very good the way it is. A lot of the inherently unfair things that were in the market have been taken out of it with the electronic markets. And so when the Globex, when the electronic market started for the E-mini, the thing just took off because people recognized how great it was, and it continues to this day. So that's just a little bit of a course on why the electronic markets are great, why we like them. Anyway, so with regard to where we are right now, Duane, there's not a lot going on here. You know, the market's real quiet. You have our forecast for, you know, higher prices. Tomorrow, the 20th, is the next important daily market bottom. And there probably are going to be some good trades once the market really shows its hand with regard to these current levels. Your one guest that's on the floor was saying, you know, we had a move down today. We didn't have a lot of follow-through, and that's very common with the market recently. And that's letting us know that we're still potentially in a very important and ongoing uptrend for higher prices coming here. So
can you
keep
see
an eye
on
your systems. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Can you see my screen?
Yes, I do. It's black.
Not for long.
Okay.
Or maybe longer than I thought.
Is this the trailer?
Yeah, I did already show it to you.
No, but I think the listeners might be interested in seeing it as well.
Yeah. I would love to see it. I don't know why it's not playing. Let's try it again. Small bit of profanity in here, guys, and I have to get through the chat.
Are looking bankruptcy in the eye every day. It's raw capitalism.
Guys that make it down there, believe it or not, never went to college.
Went to college at Harvard, economics. One of us is going to make money, the other one is going to lose money.
Look at these guys, look all around you, and all these guys are making a living doing this. You think they're that much smarter than you are?
It's a man's job.
My wife hates this job that I work because it's very hard to come home from work. I lost my whole week's salary, and I'm going to sit down at the table with my wife and, hey, be merry, drink wine.
I want to make money, and that's all I give a shit about doing.
Casper Milquetoast does not make it as a commodity trader.
The louder you are, the more recognizable you are, and the more skillful you are. It's so loud in there that we use hand signals.
It's kind of like an antique way of doing business, but the customers actually prefer it that way.
Much more of the trading these days takes place on computers.
The machine neither asked me or denied me and sold 5 lots at the market.
The ruination of commodities.
I punched the machine. I shut the machine off.
It is good for the long run of the market. It's
for the efficiency. In the end, it's going to shave a tenth of a cent off every cup of coffee in the world kind of thing. But a lot of really good people, they're really honest, they work hard, are losing their jobs.
It's really kind of Darwin-esque. It's about adapting and surviving or not.
Do I love my job? Absolutely.
The market could be standing there, not doing anything all night, and then all of a sudden, boom, it'll explode.
I can't make it any doing anything else. We would train freeze-dried cockroaches. We don't care what it is.
Some of the guys even divorce their families and get remarried, but they can't divorce their family.
They'll kill you as much as love you, but they will trade with you.
Like that, it happens. I still live for that excitement.
There you are.
Never been there, never traded that way, but I felt it.
Right. Yeah, I think I have too. And it'll be a great movie to see when it comes out. Just an amazing ending to 100 years or whatever it's been of pit-traded commodity trading. And it is coming to an end. The Globex is, or the electronic market is going to take over and has taken over.
All right, David, let's use your expertise here in real time. We're still in that trade from 71. We're starting to, with our indicators here, show some support at the 69.75 area. What's your take?
Well, you put in just
this thing right here, or we could hang in it.
You put in a 5-minute reflected wave bottom if you count back 3, 4, 5, 6. Six bars from the current bar, that was the on-time bar for a 5-minute bottom in reflected wave. And at the time that bar was printed, that was the on-time bar. It appeared that the low was actually made 1 unit early from that. Subsequent to that, we spiked that low, and the market is still trading here. I like to trade larger to smaller time frames. So as an example, if we had put in a 10-minute top a while back at 73.75, let's just say, I would want to trade down to maybe a 5-minute bottom, timing-wise. And once that bottom is in, I want to take something off. So that one, that six, that now 7 bars back, that would have been a place for an exit using this particular timing methodology where you're actually timing your trades. You're a better way of putting it is you're using your trades on a timing basis rather than on a pure price basis.
Okay.
If you know, you see what I'm saying, that the timing is what gets you out of the trade rather than specifically where you are in price. So give me just one moment here and let me see if there's anything.
I am looking
what would
at
be
a 5-minute chart right now.
Okay.
And I do see the doji that was the 5-minute bottom, and I do see where we spiked it 15 minutes later.
Right, and so this 5-minute bottom would normally indicate, unless a larger trend is present, this would indicate that the market's going to try to bounce, and it has tried to bounce here. It hasn't been much of a bounce. You got up to back up to 71.55, but that's where we are. The bigger picture is that we had put in a 60-minute bottom, and the market still is moving off of that 60-minute low. So let me see if there's anything else I can tell you about this that would keep you in. In fact, they're just about right as we're speaking, starting to test.
On that 5-minute,
those lows.
My indicators up on the. I'm viewing this now as a failed breakout to the upside, because price attempted to close above the 21 period EMA, and it did manage to close above it, but then we got a doji. And then we got a bearish candle that closed back below the 21 period EMA. So that's a failed breakout from, that's at least that's what I call it.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to break out the upside. It failed. And I like those trades. I would rather trade a failed breakout than a breakout.
Right. No, and this is something we talked about a few days ago, which is that this is one of the patterns that I really like, is that failed breakouts are much more potent to me and much better trades than the actual breakout. You can't say that it's a better trade, really, because legitimate breakouts really do run, but I really prefer the failed breakout for day-to-day trading. And here you are. They're down to 69. So they're going to break. They couldn't bounce very much off that 5-minute bottom, and they're attempting.
All right, and there we are. We're filled. And
the good trade. And there you are. Now, that took quite a bit of time, and not everybody wants to sit through that much time waiting for a position to mature, so to speak, or get to your target. But in this particular case, the market moved down nicely, and here we are.
Well, it's like
filled.
Yesterday, when you and I, you know, were talking, we wrapped up the show. I had a trade on for a while, and it was just flat. And so I scratched out with a 3-tick loss because I had to go make this run to the airport. Mm-hmm. So I get back to the screen an hour and a half later, and had I not scratched out of the trade, if I had just left my 2-point target and my 2-point stop on, I would have still been in the trade.
In that trade, right. go get your laundry, your dry cleaning done, pick up some friends from the airport, come back and finish your trade. That's the kind of market we're in right now.
So,
Now, you did get stopped out, or not stopped out, you did get limited out. You successfully traded the 2-point swing. And we're now putting in a 2-minute bottom. Again, we're using very small time frames now, time frames we don't normally use, but I'm just pointing out as we're doing this that we just put in the on-time bottom just a moment ago for a 2-minute bottom, okay, in reflected wave. So that would mean that, again, had I been short, I would have wanted to exit right in the time frame that you actually got stopped out at your price level, because of the timing portion of this triggering the potential for a bottom here. Now, when you get down to these tiny time frames, I've mentioned this so many times, that larger time frames can rule the market. You might get a little bounce, and then there's another push down because there's bigger things at work. And people have to understand when they're day trading that there's larger forces at work than the time frame that they may be working on, and that it's good for them and necessary for them to understand what some of those larger time frames are up to, so to speak, with regard to their own work, their indicators, etc. Because you could certainly be selling short on weakness from a one time frame, but it's really quite bullish on a larger time frame. And so that's why you have to be careful with trading simply off of one single time frame without awareness of the larger time frames around you. As you move out and away from the small time frames and get into larger time frames, it becomes less of a concern because there aren't so many larger time frames then that are going to affect your trade.
Right.
And so that's something for people to consider when they're studying operating with time in the markets. So anyway, that was a really nice little snip. That was a nice little trade. Took some time. The market got down and got you filled. And we have the rest of the day of slow movement here where we may be able to take another trade based on your system, mine, or anybody's system. You just understand you're just going to have to wait around a little while because that's the nature of the market right now. There's one other thing I was going to say, and I was talking to somebody the other day about this, is that no matter what system you use and no matter how complicated it is, meaning how many different types of conditions you're trying to contain with it, the market has a way of servicing every different possible kind of investor there is. The market will spend some time servicing, so to speak, the trend followers, people who are looking to buy and hold positions, and the market just trends for a while, like the S&P right now. And then the market will service a different kind of trader, maybe the range trader for a while. And then the market will service some other type of behavior. And I've said this before, you could literally write any kind of trading system you wanted, come up with any kind of system you want that buys every alternate Tuesday when there's been an accident where at least 4 to 6 people have died. And you can say, well, that's how we know to go in the market. It doesn't matter what you use. The market is going to make that system correct and work for a while. So that means that you have a chance with your current system to make some money but you also have to understand when the market has changed and is no longer servicing that particular format, that particular type of trading. And that's why you need to have more than one tool in your toolbox, so that, because the market will indeed change its behavior. If there's anything that's certain about the market, is that it will change its behavior after servicing for some period of time any one of an infinite type of trading methodologies. So you want to have more than one tool in your toolbox. We've talked about, of course, this before. And you want to have the principles that these systems are based upon pretty robust, so to speak, so that the market has, you have a good probability of having the market do what it's ordinarily would do under your system when it is showing its hand for you to play in it. But you don't want to trade with your system. Once you know, if you're a trend follower and the market's chopping back and forth, you want to stop being a trend follower for a while and trade in some other manner. And really good traders are ones that really understand that the market does change, and they understand what conditions are present. You'll take a loss learning what new conditions are present in your current trading system, and then you can say, ah, here's what they're doing, and you can begin trading in that mode. And sometimes it takes a little time for you to understand what that mode is, what they're doing. And sometimes you don't have a system to trade it. So just understand, though, that the system, the market itself, is going to change. It is going to change the way and who it's servicing. And as many individual investors out there as there are with the strangest kinds of trading systems, the market will act according to those systems for a while. So keep that in mind. And if we have, Dwayne, do you have a couple minutes more, or are you running on today?
No,
if you're running, that's fine.
I've got a question for you, but yeah, you go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. I'll take the question.
Well,
and I'd love
a statement, really. I need from you a picture, and I need a 1-2-paragraph biography for the new website.
Okay.
The web designer emailed me last night. He says, I need this info. So I sent him the CQG article, and I sent him a lot of information on everybody, and I just got the email back from him. Well, this is too much information. I can't use all this. And I'm thinking, I thought you'd want to pick like the best, your little snippets. And so I guess he wants me to edit it. And so
you know how to do that, and you're good at that.
So I can pull out of that, or if there's something more, maybe you want to use your prom picture. I don't know.
My prom picture, okay. That's good.
I don't know what picture.
I can tell people, listen, I'll just give you the short history. I was raised on a steady diet of Wheat Thins and anticoagulants, and my childhood life was much like other childs, except for that my parents kept me in an autonomic coma for most of my formative years. Is that good? Something like that?
Something like that. Yeah, I can pull basic information out. It's what it is. It's so that when people go to the site,
They can see who they're dealing with.
Is the cast, the madcap cast of zany characters for each daily show.
Right.
They can get a little bit of a bio on who that individual is, and then a link to that individual's site or webpage.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I definitely will take care of that for you.
Okay.
I do want to mention that 2-minute bottom we talked about, you can see the market reflected, the reflected wave low that we talked about, which was now 4 or 5 bars ago. The market held that bottom, and we're now advancing off that 2-minute low. And that's a good example of reflected wave in motion. That I don't think there's any other methodology that would know that particular bar marked the on-time bar for a bottom, and we're now having a nice little advance off that bottom. Having said that, I still want to remind people that even when our course comes out, that if something larger was at work, and there is a whole lot larger than simply a 2-minute chart going on.
There's always something larger at work, correct?
But here's the thing. As you get to larger time frames, there's less of the larger going on that could affect you in that time frame. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you're dealing with a 2-minute chart, that means that if an hourly cycle happens to want to go down for a certain period in an hour, in that hour, it can really hurt that trade. But if you're dealing on an hourly chart, now you need something from basically the daily time frame to really be at work during that hour, and that's less likely. Or if you're working from the daily chart, you need something like a weekly cycle pushing down, and it has to affect you in that day. Well, that's less likely to happen because these larger time frames, deal with larger amounts of time before they express themselves. There's more time to pass before that move might happen. But as you go down in time frames, I don't know if I'm not explaining it perfectly here, but as you go down in time frames, almost anything larger is larger than a two-minute chart,
sure.
And it can express itself. This was a good example of just we have a quiet market today, so we had a two-minute bottom. The market bottomed there and is advancing off it. It's no big deal. But on a much more volatile day, I would have not given out or taken advantage of, as an example, the two-minute bottom that we talked about.
Okay,
about
if that's
five
the two-minute bottom, where's the next two-minute top?
Well, that's part of the secret of reflected wave,
okay.
Is that your question is a wrong question, if I may say so,
okay.
Because the timing and the price levels work together. See, it's not pure timing. That all it's related is to price as well. That's why we have to teach it, because it's not as simple as simply counting X number of bars, as an example. You know, every four bars or here's a sequence, you know, 7, 12, whatever the sequence is, it doesn't work like that.
Okay.
It's actually much more dynamic than that. And to answer your question, Dwayne, I'm not going to blow your question off. To answer your question, the market would have to reach a particular price level on the upside,
mm-hmm,
related to the two-minute time frame. See? And then you could say we have a two-minute reflected wave top. And so what people will learn, if they learn anything from this, first of all, they'll learn how to call tops and bottoms of the market on any time frame, which is a big piece of this. Secondarily, they'll learn to start thinking in multiple time frames, because you'll start going, well, okay, this is a two-minute bottom, and actually that's a bottom inside the larger 60-minute bottom that we put in today, and we're thinking about buying it here, let's say. Well, I like that, because you're trading in the direction of the larger bottom, the 60-minute bottom that happened a few hours ago. You're buying a smaller time frame bottom inside that bottom for another move up. Therefore, you could have the power of that 60-minute bottom behind you, pushing in favor of your trade. You start thinking in terms of time frames rather than simply a particular setup on a time frame. You're starting to widen your scope and understanding what different time frames are operative relative to the trade that you're trying to put on right now. So this is a skill set that it's like learning a language, and after a while you can get very, very good at it. It's not really that hard. You don't have to be a genius to do this, and although you may think that for whatever reason that you have to have special, you know, insight or something, you don't. The way that reflected wave is generated is I've tweaked an indicator, and that indicator is going to point out when the reflected wave has occurred. So it leaves no ambiguity to you when the on-time bar is. It's nothing that there's no special insight you have to have. It's actually going to be spelled out for you right on your own computer screen where and when that turning point is due. So that's a nice function of it, and that's one of the reasons that I think it will truly be helpful to people, because it's not something that you have to recalculate on your own all throughout the day. Using math or using Fibonacci or using extensions or tools of any type to measure and, you know, do all the things that sometimes we have to do in the markets, but having to do that repeatedly. The indicator itself will show you the reflected wave tops and bottoms. So they did have a bounce from there, and that we're now breaking down a new lows here. And, you know, when we get into tomorrow, Dwayne, and I know you do have to run, how they handled this whole thing that they did today, this low, the bottom,
so
that we...
If there's something else you wanted to ask me, it's okay. I got time if you want. You said
I was going to say, first thing, number one, how they handle this bottom is going to be very important to us, because remember, tomorrow is the on-time day for a daily reflected wave bottom. So let's think of the three time frames we just talked about. We had a 60-minute bottom triggered this morning due in the second hour. It came 1 hour early, and the market advanced nicely. We also have a daily bottom that's due tomorrow. So that bounce, normally we would be looking to what? Sell it. Because the on-time day is actually tomorrow. There's a potential for a new low. And then the third time frame was that we were looking at a two-minute bottom inside of all of that. And so the largest time frame that gets triggered, in this case the daily, is what rules. That's the thing that you're going to base your whole outlook on, is the largest time frame. And in this particular case, the largest time frame was daily. It could have all happened today. It could have happened one day early. But you will learn to treat the largest time frame as what rules, and then you'll begin to learn to trade the smaller time frames, like the hourly and other time frames, properly so that they can be traded up or down in the context of that larger time frame, the bottom that we're talking about that would be due tomorrow. Visually, it's much easier to express all this than it is in words, obviously. That's one of the reasons that your program has improved dramatically, because you have charts now that you can show. And I'm sure people who might have been confused by other guests like Michael with his indicators can now understand much better because they see the charts, they see the indicators. It's the same thing with reflected wave. It makes it much, much easier to deal with when seeing a chart. So did you have any other question, Dwayne, or did I interrupt something?
No, not at all.
Okay.
No, I just wanted to let you know that we had time for you to cover whatever it was.
No, I think that's about it, and I'm going to save the rest for the course, and I hope that for the remainder of the week. Now, I do want to say that I am going out of town. I'm still going to be online, but I'll be, we're traveling on Thursday, but the daily bottom is due tomorrow, so tomorrow's going to be really important, how they handle this bottom, how they handle what they did today, and we'll see from that how we're going to treat the next leg up from here, if there is a next leg up, and we think there is. So we're finally at a point, I guess my biggest picture thing that I'm saying is we're finally at a point here where the market's going to show its hand, because we've actually triggered an important event on the downside by triggering this, setting up the October 20th daily bottom. So I'm looking forward to talking with you tomorrow about all this and putting it together and having some nice trades. The best trades there are usually are the trades where several time frame bottoms are in place and you're trading a bottom of a smaller time frame in the direction of up. So there might be a 60-minute and a daily bottom there, and now you just bought a 5-minute low inside all of that. Well, when that 5-minute low is completed, the other stuff wants to go up. The other cycles that have bottomed do want to express themselves on the upside, and you can be in a really nice trade because all that other stuff is pointing in the direction that you're going. So it's kind of like sailing a ship and knowing that the wind's coming, and that's a good way to trade, is to trade with that stuff coming in your direction. It can often go very, very quickly. I myself have been in a number of trades, and again, I want to say that I take losing trades. I've had zillions of losses in my trading career, so I'd like to say that before I say anything about a winning trade, because traders and people on programs tend to talk only about the winning trades. Having said that, I've been in a number of trades where those types of setups have occurred, and I've been able to buy a 5-minute bottom inside of a daily and a 60-minute, and just literally a minute after I buy it, the market's 10 points higher, because that all the market needed to do was go down and express and finish off that cycle, and then whoosh, it just runs right up, and you can't even believe your eyes. It doesn't always work that way, but that's the principle, is that those larger cycles are just waiting for the smaller to get out of the way so they can fully express themselves. And so it's a skill set to develop your multiple time frame capabilities, and if anything will do it for you, reflected wave will. And so I'm excited about the program. I'm excited about teaching it with people, and I'll let you know when we have it all in place. And each day, Dwayne, when we're on the program, I'm very happy to go over and point out various tops and bottoms as they occur if it's useful to people.
And we do appreciate that very much.
Yeah, it was my pleasure.
Can you see my screen right now?
I'm sorry. What was that?
Can you see my screen?
Yes, I can.
Are you in a position? I just wanted to show you, the zones have done really well for us this week. Here's the open on Sunday night, where we hit the 72. Mm-hmm. We opened right at the 72-73 zone. And then on the overnight, we came down to the 65-66. Then we spent a couple of hours consolidating around the 72-73 prior to the open. Then we ran to the high yesterday, the 82-83. And then in an hour, we wiped out the entire day's progress.
Right.
30-minute candles. Right back.
Right.
To the 72-73. And then today, we spent the whole night last night just hugging that 72-73 area. We caught that little bit of a pop this morning, and then we came straight back down to 65.66, and then right back up to the 72.73, and
yeah.
Now currently trying to work our way back down to the 65.66. So I just wanted to share with you. I've already shared it with the audience, but I didn't know if you were tuned in. That
yeah, no, I've listened the whole morning.
While we don't have the ability to say that we think we're going to trade to this particular price within a particular time frame, we are able to say with confidence that these are important areas where the market will be forced to make some kind of a decision. And,
that's right.
I mean, look at this. This is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, now 12, 15 hours it spent trying to make up its mind what it was going to do. But then again, once it decides to do it, like here, I mean, in an hour, once the decision was made here, in an hour, it was all over. And then it went quiet. So, you know, just pointing out that having those areas and then overlaying, you know, whatever intraday levels that you generate in your support and resistance panel, or that Mike might generate in his support and resistance panel, those overlaid on the weekly zones, and in particular when they line up, it's really good places for people to be able to, you know, once you're into a trade, to know where the trade may very well trade to. And
yeah, no doubt.
One of the reasons that we're all looking very much forward to the class that you're going to present, because I think that will be, you know, a huge plus.
It's the other level. It adds
yeah.
the other piece
yeah,
that could
exactly.
be tied in. And there, you know, in a way, intuitively, the beauty, so to speak, of having more than one dimension to work with, and why that works out so well in trading the markets, and how it can be used to really to just great advantage in putting together an idea for a trade, and then the whole execution of it, and all that. So, Duane, I'll tell you what, I'll let you go. As always, I love being on the program. I'm glad we can go over this, and it's a lot of fun to, especially when the markets, if it's a little busier than it is today, it's a lot of fun to catch some of these turns and to watch the market and let the listeners see some of the value of this program in advance. And one of the things we're going to be doing on our on the advertisement for it is we're going to show each day a lot of the turns that the thing called that very day, rather than just going to, you know, previous charts and saying, well, look at these turns from, you know, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 5 days ago. This is the turns it called today, right here, right now, and you can take a look at them for yourself. So I'm excited about it. We're just working away, and we only have so many hours in the day. We have to do our work here, which is there's quite a bit of work in doing this alone, and then we spend what time we can on continuing that program. So especially, you know, for people like yourself, you've developed your skill set, and I've seen you improve your skill set, especially in the last year or so, even less than that. I've seen you improve your skill set, your understanding of the way markets work, your ability to select zones, et cetera, and some of your ability to institute a trade has improved. And number one, does it not feel great to improve your skills? Does it not feel great to be able to say, I own that idea, I can put that idea to work, and I'm going to, you know, that's another rung up on the ladder for me to base new improvements from. So there's really quite a bit of pleasure. I don't know if you feel that, but I do anytime I improve my skill set in the markets with
to be
whatever
able to
technique.
Go, I can buy groceries with that. That's huge.
Yeah. No, it's huge. And that is an encouragement. It's almost like every step you take and every time you make an improvement, the market makes a step towards you and you're able to deal with it. And yes, there always is going to be some tricky movement or behavior, but all of this stuff, all of this improvement allows you to get closer to the goal of being able to trade well, enjoy your trading, make it fun, not something that's a torture chamber and all that stuff. I've said this so many times. If you are tortured by trading, you're not trading correctly, and your emotional condition is not correct. This should not be torture. You're doing it wrong. You're thinking about it wrong. You're envisioning who you're supposed to be wrong. You've got a lot of wrong going on if you're tortured while you're trading. When I look at the people on the floor of the pits and the exchanges, and they're screaming and they're, you know, and all that stuff, they have to scream for a reason because there's physical need to do it. It's an open auction, essentially, and it's a different thing. But if you're sitting in your office and you're totally tortured by the markets, you've got it wrong.
It's just that simple. It's not supposed to be that way. Your skill set, you should be happy to put your skill set to use, like a fisherman, you know, is happy to put his skill set to use. He doesn't know all about the river. He doesn't know all about where the fish are, but he's still able to get in there and catch some fish, and he doesn't have to be tortured, and it doesn't have to be a miserable day for him. I enjoy improving. It's a work in progress for everybody, and I've seen Dwayne improve, and I'm sure some of your listeners, Dwayne, have improved by following the program and learning from the guests and just in their own way.
I hope
you know,
so.
Which is
I get incredibly positive, encouraging emails a lot, and you know, we don't have a testimonial place on our website at this point, and I don't know, maybe at some point on the new site we might. But some of the emails that I get are so incredibly humbling that they make me a little misty-eyed, and I would almost feel bad about placing them on the site, even if I made it an anonymous kind of thing, because they really are so genuine, heartfelt,
mm-hmm.
and in many cases even tender-hearted, that
mm-hmm.
it's like this little treasure that I want to put in a box, and I don't know that I want to share it with anyone else, because it somehow would lose some of its meaning if it was hung out on display. You know, I don't know if any of that
uh-huh.
makes any sense, but I said it. So,
well, there you go. That's very nice of you, and I'm sure they appreciate that as well. Well, Dwayne, I'll let you go.
Right,
we'll hook up in the morning. As always, appreciate being on the show. And tomorrow's important, October 20th, the on-time day, and we'll put it together then. We'll go from there.
All right. Thanks, David.
All right. Thanks so much, Dwayne. I'll talk to you then. Bye-bye.
Okay, friends, that's going to wrap it up for another official day of programming. In other words, we're going to end the podcast, but we're going to leave the charts running. I'm going to go participate in a conference call with Bert, Chris, and Michael. And that is to make your use of the DT Pro platform and our indicator set easier. We're trying to make it a very smooth process. We don't want it to, because we know that when someone first comes into trading, it's all very daunting. But when you change platforms, as you've seen me live in real time, transition from one platform that I was on for years to a new platform, there have been, if it hadn't been for Jerry, wow, he's just been an invaluable resource. And Jerry, if you're still out there, really, we all appreciate. I appreciate Bert, Michael, all the traders who are walking this walk. We really appreciate you, man. And I don't know if we're going to make you man of the year, or if we're going to carry on our shoulders and sing for He's a Good Fellow, but doggone it, we just want you to know that we like you. We appreciate you. You've made this whole transition, I know for me, so much easier to deal with. And hopefully, I'm not just making the transition, but I'm learning it in such a manner that I will then be able to pass that along to others as they come along and want to learn. And we're going to document a lot of this with videos, but some of the stuff we just kind of want to make automatic. Like when you download the demo or you download the platform, the layout that Jerry, again, so generously created for us, just auto-populates. It's just there. And then with one click, your indicators appear. So we're working on all those things. We're working on the new site. We're doing our best to serve you and to serve you well, because we believe with all of our heart that that is what God has called us to do. Okay? That's why we do it. So let's go back and look real quick at this trade, the 2097, the one that we were in. And if you are wondering on the dome, where did it go? Here it is. The depth of market. If you're wondering why that says 1.25 points instead of 2 points, it's because I left my charts running overnight, so that 3-tick loss that we took yesterday when we scratched out of that trade to go to the airport, which, did I mention, went on to be a winner, but that's beside the point. We made a decision to scratch out and take the trade off. And so, what you're seeing here is a cumulative total, because we lost 3 ticks yesterday on that trade. So, that's why it says 1.25 and not 2. We did get the full 2 points. We entered here okay, everything was lined up. You heard me say I'd rather be getting short up here, but we need to wait for further confirmation. And so we did. We waited to trade by the rules, okay? Price came down, pulled back, red here, red here, red here. We got an entry, we lost one tick to slip. Trade went in our favor. We took a little bit of heat. I guess we probably had a two tick drawdown at best in that trade. And then the market moved on in our favor. And then there was a drawdown and we ended up getting out. Let's see, we got in at 70. No. Was it 70? And our exit was 68. Is that correct? No, we got in at 71. I'm sorry. No. Why can't I see this? Yeah, the high of this candle was... $71.25. Okay, so we got in at 71. We got out at 69. We had 69.50 here. We had to go through all of this to get back to the 69. And then we had to actually wait until we got here because the low there is 69. We actually had to wait here for it to trade through 69 by one tick so that we got filled. Entered here, exit here. So we took some heat on a couple of occasions, but all of the indicators supported the trade. The only exception was we began to print some support here. Okay, and at that point, it could have gone either way. In fact, as we printed support, we ran up, but then we immediately reversed on that next bar. And once that reversal on the next bar came in, then the market's really making a statement here with this. Okay? You see the size of this bar? It's an outsized bar compared to previous bars, and so is this one. So they kind of just negate each other, and the market has drifted down. Now, I will point this out. Support. Okay, we hit support. We bounce. We trade underneath it. We come back. That's support now acting as resistance. This is still red. This is still red. This would be a type of an advanced trade. You've been using these indicators for a while. You're used to them. You're comfortable with them. Here's a situation where you might, this is not in the rule set, okay, this is something that you would adapt to and learn over time, but an additional trade here on down. We've already tested, in fact, we've taken out by one tick this swing low. So the next obvious place for the market to go is the 65.66. We punch out to a 30-minute. We can see that low of the day is actually 62.75. Okay. So, knowing all of that, going into this trade, could we have said, you know what, we're just going to trade there? Yeah. But the sandbox trade in this time frame was designed for a two-point target. I've always said you can move your target out farther if market conditions warrant it, but you never risk more than 2 points. In fact, I've been doing some evaluating. We probably don't even need to risk 2 points. I'm not going to change anything right now, but we're going to continue to watch that. I would like to see the risk come down to about a point and a half versus two. Is that you, Bert?
Yep, it is.
Okay. All right. I'm getting ready to close out the podcast and sign off. Charts are going to continue to run, and I will be back. But I just wanted to let you know. I'm glad you popped in. that I'm available for that conference call now whenever you're ready.
Okay. All right.
And Michael's got his cell phone with him, so is there anything else you wanted to add today?
No. I mean, I'm glad everyone benefited from that trade. I mean, we spent 2, 3, 4 hours patiently waiting for something to set up. We finally get something to set up, and it worked for everyone, so I just hope everyone took advantage of it. Time well spent.
And it points out again that waiting patience is one of the skills you have to learn.
Absolutely.
And if you're impatient, success will elude you until you learn how to be patient.
Mm-hmm.
And some people go, well, I don't mind being patient as long as I know what it is I'm waiting for.
That's a good point.
Because I remember when I first started, when I first started, I would hear things like, yeah, I'm waiting for a good setup. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, I'd wait for one too if I knew what it looked like.
Actually, that's a good point.
I mean, some people don't know what a good setup is. They don't know what they're looking for or what they're supposed to be waiting for. And so that's what we've attempted to provide with this indicator setup, is you know exactly what it is you're waiting for. Okay, you're sitting there watching that calm, peaceful lake, and you've got your eyes on that bobber, and you know what you're waiting for. Okay, you can't see anything under the surface of the water. You can't see all them fish swimming around. You don't see those 500 different companies that are represented by the S&P 500 shipping products and making phone calls and firing people and hiring people. That's all the under. All you can see is the calm lake and the bobber. But when the bobber goes under, that's what you're waiting for. That's what the patience was all about. And with this indicator setup, kind of similar. Once the trade sets up, once you have an entry, there's no question. Is this a trade or not? Well, okay, I think it's a setup, but where do I get in? Where's my entry? Where's my stop? Where's my target? All of that's been taken out. Does that make it a holy grail? No. It just helps you learn how to trade. That's all.
Gives you at least a method. And not shooting from the hip and trading on emotions.
And over time, watching this, being patient, letting these things come together, you'll wake up one day and you'll go, I know how to trade.
You're like Jerry. It makes sense finally.
Yeah. Okay. So, anyway, all right, guys, thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Pastor Dwayne Reeves, and his guests. This information should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed security broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions.